This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonsland. You don't understand how serious this is. They killed my dog. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Knapp Auto Tech Training. Do you have a general service tech that you want to grow into your business, but you're lacking the path to get them there? Let Knapp Auto Tech's apprentice program pave the way. Go to knappautotech.com for more details. As many of you know, I like watching documentaries. I recently watched the Titan Sub, the submersible that would take people for a relatively economical amount of money down to visit, if you will, the Titanic. And as you, I'm sure, are well aware, the tragedy of it imploding due to the really, experimental, if you will, hull made out of carbon fiber. You may wonder why I'm bringing this up. And I guess it was really this one and the documentary on the Challenger, the space shuttle explosion, that just, it intrigues me because warning signs were ignored. Experts were ignored. And people kept going in either the name of, ego, flair for maybe the dramatic or to be the hero, to be the one that ends up being right, to show everyone up, stuff like that. Ended up killing people. Yeah, okay, killing people. It's maybe a stretch for our businesses, but maybe not. We're dealing with projectiles that move down the road. Well, whatever, I guess. From zero up to, I suppose, as fast as anybody wants to go, but I think more reasonably interstate speeds, people are rolling 70, 80 miles an hour. So yeah, lives could be in danger, but I guess that's not necessarily where I was going with this. Although I guess we can talk a little bit about that. It's really just how many of us, thinking more like shop owners, managers, ignore warning signs, ignore the input of experts. And now don't get me wrong, that's a dangerous line to walk, a somewhat dangerous position to take, because we do know people that march to the beat of their own drummer, do their own thing, and are wildly successful, right? Zeb Beard is a perfect example. He kind of does things his way. He's done it other ways too, and learned that they don't necessarily work for him and or his target clients. I don't know that he just outright ignores them. Maybe. I probably should have him on as a guest to discuss that, but I know he's been on other podcasts. He's absolutely been on with Carm. I was there as well, along with Andrew Sexton. And, maybe I'm undermining my own position basically by bringing him up. And I think there's others that follow suit with that, where they just kind of do their own thing and it works out. But the overwhelming number of us follow a somewhat similar formula. And I guess even Zeb does fundamentally, right? You're going to pay me to go about this repair service to properly or do what I need to do to accurately, diagnose it, and then to fix it per the, RTFM, per the manufacturer, bring it back to those specifications and return you a vehicle that is repaired and stood behind and all that. And that's a kind of a common theme, wouldn't you think? And yet, how many in our ranks, and probably nobody that listens to this podcast or many of the other podcasts because they care, don't do that. They do it their way, and it's a struggle or an epic fail. And I guess I start to wonder why. Like, it has, ego has to be such a big, big component to this, that egocentric bias, that the blindness to what's really going on, and instead of twisting the facts to fit your narrative or your worldview, meaning it's really slow. looking around, okay, the other shops are slow. Oh, the tool guys are talking about how slow everybody is. The parts stores are calling, asking if you're slow too, or if they have sales reps, maybe they're stopping by going like, oh yeah, you're dead, so is everybody else. And I'm not saying like the shop I manage is so immune to that, but I think consistently, if things slow down for our competitors, we're kind of the last to feel that and then the first to come out of it and things pick up sooner. And I don't know that anybody's totally ego free, but I think a lot of it has to do with definitely checking our egos at the door. What is their purpose there? I mean, fundamentally, it's to make money. That's why we're there. That's why there's a sign and a building and people working in it and all the stuff that we do is to make money. I don't mean that in a greedy sort of way. We're not freaking Scrooge or Scrooge McDuck sitting there going, how can we pile more money and afford to build a silo to fill it with more money? It's really, what can we do to make money to take care of our people who then will take care of our clients? And what can we do to not only take care of them outside of the business with expendable income, but also inside the business with comfortable working conditions and all the tools and information they need to do their jobs at the highest level they can possibly do them. And that takes profit. And that's why we're there. And so the two biggest ways to ensure that is number of vehicles or number of invoices and the hired or, you know, more dollars per invoice. Those are the biggies, right? Not too much else after that. With that, we kind of follow certain guidelines as set by other successful entities. And there's many to pattern ourselves after and listen to them and read what they do, be it on professional network, be it in social media forums or at classes or at expos, conferences where we can rub elbows and take little tidbits. Why would I ignore what Kirk Holland is doing? Why would I ignore what Seth Thorson's doing? Why would I ignore just name after name after name of successful business owners or multiple business owners or multi-location? Those are just a couple. There's so many out there. And do they all do exactly the same thing? No. No, not at all. But they follow some pretty similar guidelines. And so therefore, with the Titan sub, trying to change things like lowering the cost of really bringing the sub or submersible to the location above Titanic, and then really retrieving it, right? Pulling it out of the water. If they use what's conventionally used, metal, titanium, they're heavy, which makes sense, right? They have 6,000 PSI pushing in on them. They'll be heavy because I don't want to die. That makes sense. But because of that, it takes a certain vessel to support the crane or equipment to lift that thing out of the water. And if I can significantly reduce the weight, I will significantly reduce the size of vessel I need and significantly reduce the power or capacity of the crane or equipment needed to retrieve it. I can pass that savings on to you, the consumer. And I can go on and on and on about how thick this carbon fiber hull is, how much pressure it can take, and it's been tested and tested and retested, and we have all these sensors mounted that monitor it, and any signs of trouble, we drop weight, we head back to the surface, and ensuring your safety and ours. But the warnings were there, not just from experts, not just from the engineers within the company, not just from experts outside of the company, but also the sensors themselves, the monitors, we might call them in our businesses KPIs. There's data supporting what we're doing isn't working or it's going backwards and it's ignored. Why? It's because that's the way we've always done it. When we're riding high around COVID or just after COVID, we did all this. We're successful. Why change? Times have changed, stuff like that. I guess I don't need to necessarily answer all these questions. It's just ignoring the data. The same can go to the back of house. Ignoring the data. If the data is showing that production is low over and over and over, is it low for everybody? Is it low for just one or two individuals? What are they doing? Is it really them? How is the system set up that may affect them differently than others? Where are these questions? Why aren't we asking these questions? Why aren't we leading with that curiosity? Or why do we just continue to ignore it? And I don't know, what's the expectation? They'll figure it out. Or if I fire enough people and hire the right people, they'll get in there and finally we'll find a really good technical specialist or mechanical specialist, whatever, that knows how to come in and kick butt. And then is that really what's happening? Or when you do finally get this person that does kick butt, is it they just know how to work the system? Or they're cheating, gaming the system, really? They're gaming the system and therefore it looks like they're so much more productive than their predecessors. No one ever looked at the data, decided to ask questions about why this data is the way it is. They did that with the Titan sub. They ignored the data. They ignored the suggestions and concerns of the experts, and it cost lives. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build a Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level Tech Update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. I suppose, you know, with the stretch, a little bit of a stretch, not terrible. I mean, it's the truth. The right environment, or I guess the wrong environment, the wrong work environment, we're sending out dangerous vehicles that could go out and hurt or kill somebody or somebodies. It's possible. That's not really the direction I was thinking of going, though. It's not like some big scare tactic. It's just the failure to check our egos or this, I suppose. I mean, I hear it all the time now. It's almost annoying how much I hear it, but this Dunning-Kruger effect, where the less you know, the more certain you are you're an expert at it. And there's the other end of things. You know, the more you know, the less you think you know, because you understand just how little you know in the grand scheme of things, even though you might be an expert. But yeah, the concerning side is the less you really know, the more you really think you know, the more of an expert you consider yourself to be. And you just see it over and over and over. And not, again, not just at the ownership level or the management level, even in the back, doing the same things over and over, similar results. You know, DTC equals part. This probably works better now than it ever has, but I think we all kind of know that this does not work. It'd be nice, I guess, some days, although got to be careful what we wish for, right? If that were the truth, they don't need us anymore. At least technical specialists that want to analyze data and come to an accurate conclusion. You know, we saw the same thing with the Challenger. Concerns were ignored. There's cover-ups. And sure, you know, we don't have a panel of people going over our stuff. And I guess unless it's has to do with an audit, but I guess that's not where I'm going. I'm just going with a business that's floundering, a business that's unable to take care of itself, its employees, the owner, ignoring data, looking the other way, sweeping stuff under the carpet, sweeping stuff under the rug, deny. And yet the evidence was there the whole time. The warning signs were there the whole time and largely ignored. You know, ignored because they didn't want to look, or we didn't want to look, however. I guess the who and the what isn't nearly as important. Just, I think all of us, it's not just to do with work, right? Everything. Don't want to look. Don't know what we're looking at. So why not go learn, be it training, educating ourselves, hiring somebody to interpret it for us, right? Owner, manager, you may not know how to look at a oscilloscope pattern, so you hire somebody that does. Don't know how to program a module? Hire somebody that does. Don't know how to fix cars or do maintenance services? Hire people that do. Or hire people that do it better than you. Or send people out to get educated on how to do it better. And that, you know, that's how we're going to learn to look at this data and make decisions to improve them instead of just doubling down, I guess, doubling down with it has to be our egos. It just has to be. Or fear. Is fear so much an ego thing? So you have the ego that you know better, and then you have the fear of, I'm scared of losing what I have. So those seem to me to be the two major contributing factors. So yeah, I find that mind-blowing. And I mean, not to go off course here, but with the Titan sub, there's a little bit of solace, at least. And I just find this hard. I don't want to ignore this because it's a tragedy and it was terrible. And it's terrible, the warning signs leading up to it. But at least I think there's a little bit of solace in that they were dead before they knew what happened. There was no pain, no realization, probably no oh crap moments. It was over with. And also, I guess I want to dispel a little bit of a myth I've seen somewhere. I've thought about doing an episode on bubbles, not the freaking monkey. Bubbles themselves, cavitation bubbles. There's a lot of energy in bubbles. And I think there's this idea that when the sub imploded, it was basically a bubble with 6,000 PSI pushing on it. And that temperatures inside of that bubble would have exceeded or rivaled that of the sun. This is not really true because there's a terrific amount of heat loss to the water surrounding that bubble of, I mean, I think it's near freezing, but the temperatures would have peaked high. I think a couple thousand degrees Fahrenheit, but not long enough to cause any sort of effect to anything inside that bubble. So the people, it wouldn't have affected them. The pressure itself, that's what did them in. Luckily, very quickly before they would have any time to be able to comprehend it. We're talking milliseconds here. That's some solace. And with the Challenger, I don't know that we get to have such solace like that. I think there's probably some terrible suffering, which is, yeah, that's awful to think about. Just awful and preventable. And I just think that translates directly into our businesses, that there's so many things that are preventable. The data's there. All we have to do is look at it, check our egos at the door, and do something about it. And doing something about it might not be changing something in the business right away. It might be educating ourselves. And I don't care if it's at the front of house, management level, of course, learning about looking at your business metrics, but also in the back, analyzing how we go about doing things. You know, if our production's low, what can we change? And then what do we need to promote for a change in the system to help with those numbers go up, right? Production will lead to more cars, more money for everybody. So yeah, let me know what you think on this take. If there's any other documentaries you like that you think I should check out, don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can find me at mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. Also, social media, fire me a message on Messenger. Otherwise, I mean, I think everybody's got Tanner's number, so you just call Tanner and he'll tell me about it. That'll work. And yeah, thank you all for listening. Thank you so much to the Aftermarket Radio Network. And also thank you very much to our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.